Welcome to Torah Timach HaParsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week is Parshas Vayeshev, Shabbos Chanukah. And it feels kind of funny to talk about winning a war in the middle of a war. We feel much better talking about enemies and Jew haters as safely in the past. But here we are again. It's Shabbos Chanukah, and we are right in the middle of it. As parents, we want to protect our children from pain, from evil, from catastrophe. I can remember where I was standing the first time I really understood how powerless I was to control the events that would occur in the life of my child, to truly protect her from experiencing pain. So a better spent endeavor may be to try to give our children resilience and integrity. This week's Parsha begins with the family of Yaakov settled in Eretz Canaan. The jealousy of the brothers to Yosef, the two dreams that confused, threatened, and angered the brothers, their kidnapping of Yosef and almost killing him, Reuven standing up for him and convincing them to throw him in a pit, Yehuda's idea to sell Yosef, and finally the selling of Yosef down to Mitzrayim. It also tells the story of Yehuda, his three sons, Er, married to Tamar, and then his passing, Onan, marrying his brother's widow, and when he died, how Yehuda was afraid to give his third son to Tamar. Tamar tricked Yehuda into marrying her, and ultimately, Yehuda admitted she was correct, and they had twins. Back to the story of Yosef, he has been eminently successful in the house of Potiphar, but his mistress desires him and demands he cooperate, and Yosef refuses, runs away, and is thrown into jail. He meets the royal butler and baker who also have dreams that Yosef manages to interpret. Yosef asks the butler to remember him when he is freed, and the butler forgets him. There is a Rashi at the beginning of this week's Parsha that has always troubled me. The Pasuk says, Vayeshev Yaakov. Yaakov lived. The language of yeshiva is much more permanent than gerus or even dira. It means to truly settle deeply. And Rashi tells us that this is the mindset that Yaakov had at this point in his life. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. Yaakov wanted to live in peace. And Hashem's response to this yeshiva was to throw on him the trouble of Yosef. Kafatz alav rogzo shel Yosef. And then the Medrash continues and broadens it. Tzadikim wish to live in peace, and Hashem says to them, is it not enough what I prepared for you in Olam Haba, in the next world, that you want to live in peace in this world too? What troubles me is the context. Yaakov had been asked to do the impossible, to leave his parents, to leave the Holy Land, to leave his open communication prophecy he had with Hashem, go to Galus for 20 years to live together with the cruel, immoral, unethical Lavan and bring up the first Jewish family there and to have them all come out pure and Jewish and to do this absolutely alone with no outside role models. And he passed this test with flying colors. And after all of this, he has finally returned home. And what does he want? A little peace, a little rest. He doesn't want to fight anymore. He doesn't want to struggle anymore. Hasn't he earned his retirement? He's tired. He's about 100 years old. Is it so terrible to want to rest? And Hashem throws on him the pain of Yosef? Why? The story of Parshas Vayeshev is one of the saddest family stories you will ever read. Misunderstanding, miscommunication, suspicion, jealousy, anger, and hatred. It is sadly as predictable as it is painful. We watch how everyone plays their part as if it is scripted, and the tragic nightmare that unfolds as anger and hatred develop into violence and cruelty and almost murder, and at the end of it all, an innocent boy, misjudged and hated, becomes a victim in every sense of the word. when we think about what Yosef must have endured that awful day as he heard his fate decided, as he was stripped of his clothing, as he was thrown into a pit and finally sold to strangers, and all of these crimes perpetrated by his own family, his brothers, whom he trusted, whom he loved. Can there be any healing from a trauma like this one? It goes deeper than that too, because Chazal tell us that the brothers actually believed that Yosef was a murderer, that Yosef was guilty of all the crimes they accused him of, and that they formed a beis din, a court, and judged him. What must have that felt like? How can a young boy continue to believe in his own integrity, to continue to see himself as innocent, when his entire family believes otherwise? What did that experience do to his self-image? But Vayishev is actually not a story of a family that is broken or a victim who is broken, because Vayishev is actually the story of greatness and strength, of resilience and self-actualization. Because of after all of these horrifying introductory details, Vayishev becomes the story of Yosef. After all the psukim that describe all the horrible things that happened to him, the very first time after all of that that we hear Yosef's voice is when his mistress desires him and makes it clear that he has no choice but to submit, that he is powerless and worthless. And Yosef says no. Yosef fights back, and Yosef, young 17-year-old Yosef, vulnerable and weak Yosef, proves that inside he has a core of iron, and he says no. This iron core is the belief that as human beings, we are free. Free to choose, free to remain us, even when we are being attacked. Free to be resilient, to live with integrity, even when we are treated unfairly, and even when we are misjudged. Yes, free even when we are a slave. How did he do it? Chazal tell us that at the moment that his mistress grabbed hold of him, he saw the image of Yaakov Avinu, his father, and that he heard his father say, "There will be a time when all of my 12 sons will be represented on the breastplate, the choshen, of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and you belong there, Yosef. Would you give that up?" What is the meaning of that vision? It means that to Yosef, that image of him as a proud member of his father's family was still real, was still possible. That means that Yosef did not let what happened to him define him, that he understood that he may be a slave right now, he may be far from home right now, but that he was Yosef, the son of Yaakov. I am reminded of the famous poem by Rudyard Kipling, If. It begins, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal with lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise." It goes on for stanzas and finally concludes, "Yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and, which is more, you'll be a man, my son." Because the point of the poem is, if you can be you despite it all, then you will truly be you. And Yosef is truly Yosef because he has been tested. There is a beautiful medrash at the beginning of Sefer Shemos on the words V'Yosef haya b'Mitzrayim. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. It asks, after counting the 70 current members of the Jewish nation, Yosef is listed alone. Why? to let you know that Yosef remained the same Yosef when he was a beloved child of Yaakov shepherding his father's sheep, the same Yosef as a slave in Egypt, and the same Yosef when he became king. In all of these situations, he remained Yosef. But he didn't remain Yosef despite these different situations. These situations demonstrated that he was and had always truly been Yosef. When discussing the question of a nisayon, a test, I think we often get stuck in the problem of the tester, namely Hashem. Hashem, unlike a human tester, knows the outcome of any test. So why does Hashem test us? It would be much more appropriate to think of a nisayon in the context of the scientific method, which seeks to isolate the true character of something, or in our context, someone, using evidence-based observations and utilizing independent variables and controls to truly define what is and what isn't, meaning, as long as we live in this world, this natural world, we will be defined by a scientific method. How does it become clear that Yosef is truly Yosef the Tzaddik? Because Yosef was placed in so many different situations, and in each of those situations, he remained free to be Yosef. And every time Yosef was tested, a new perspective on what Yosef is now realized, meaning that the message the vision of Yaakov gave to Yosef is not only don't lose this picture, but that this moment in your life is defining. It's defining the Yosef that will ultimately be on the Choshen. This moment counts. This is our parsha, a story of self-definition, self-actualization, and self-preservation. This is the iron core that is Yosef, and this is the iron core that is inside each of us and that we pray is in each of our children. The resilience, the fortitude, the iron core to remain them, not despite their lives, but defined by their lives. The Medrash tells us that Yosef is the gematria of Tzion, and that all that occurred to Yosef eventually occurred to Tzion, the Jewish people. And so, Yosef's story is the story of the Jewish people. Yosef's story is my story and your story. It is also the story of the Hashmonaim, the courageous warriors of Hanukkah who refused to bend. And I believe this helps us answer our painful question at the beginning of the parsha. Yaakov and all tzaddikim are told, as long as we are alive, the tests will continue for Yaakov and for Yosef. Because the other part of these nisyonos, these tests, is that Yaakov and Yosef, they live inside us. They lived inside the Jews of the Hanukkah story. We learn from their strength and we learn to fight too. When the Jewish people stood at Yam Suf, the Pasuk in Tehillim cries out, Hayam ra'ah vayanos. The sea saw and it fled. What is it that the sea saw? Bones of Yosef. And this iron core of Yosef became the symbol of the power of the Jewish people to swim against the tide and to define themselves as truly the nation of Hashem. And so we wage war. And the war that began on Simchas Torah has now brought us to Hanukkah. But like the Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, the many in the hands of the few, we also stand alone, but we stand strong. And we pray that as the lights of the menorah shine from every Jewish home and every army base, that the light of the menorah reach every hostage, that the strength of Yosef live inside every Jewish heart, that we see miracles, that we truly experience Nisim this Hanukkah. A Freilichen Hanukkah, and thank you for learning together.